the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. What a beautiful feast day, this final Sunday of Pascha and this 40 days of resurrection. What an awesome, every day has certain readings, not for willy-nilly, for ancient purpose, because for the healing of our souls and the epistle of the Acts of the Apostles that Benjamin read, so beautiful, so an awesome faith that we have to see dynamic, real faith. So how do we know if faith is real? The fathers asked that question because it exists and it actually thrives in suffering. That's why the prosperity gospel is fake, because it crumbles under suffering. True Christianity shines in suffering. How do we know that? In this awesome reading today from the book of Acts, we know that Paul and Silas, they're there in the prison, and what are they doing? Tell me, what are they doing? They're praying and singing. They're not going, oh, this is terrible. How are we going to get out of here? God didn't bless us. Why is it God have his foot on my head? Blah, blah, blah. No, they were suffering, but because they were joined to the risen Christ through baptism, through illumination, they were in the worst hell, and they were singing songs and praying to God. A great example to us. And this is what a resurrected life looks like. It's a pattern for all of us. But today, I mostly want to speak about the blind man. This is one of the longer gospel readings. The St. Photini, Samaritan woman last week, is the longest conversation. But this passage is long, but so rich. And we can learn a few things about what is blindness and what is true spiritual sight. If you read the Old Testament, and I made a promise that I would make my homily shorter today, forgive me, so I'm trying to honor that. But I could read so many passages in the Old Testament prophets, especially the prophet Isaiah, who talks about how God is going to come. He will come to a weak root, and he will not crush it, but he'll nurture it. He'll come to a candle that is about to be blown out, and he'll cradle it, and he'll strengthen it so it bursts into flame again. And he says he will heal those who are sick, and he will give sight to the blind. And of course, Isaiah was seeing the glory that we live in this time of the incarnation, in the time of Christ's, the Logos, God who has always existed in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the pre-eternal Christ who now became incarnate. There was never a time when Christ was not. You should know that. Never. He's God. He's always was, is, will be. His being is different, but he became incarnate in flesh, as St. John said. And we get to live in this beautiful time in the dispensation. And the prophet saw as in a shadow. But no one ever heard of a man who healed the blind. Lots of miracles. By the way, you should know, St. John Chrysostom says, it wasn't like this man just had bad vision. He had no eyeballs. Many people didn't know that he had no eyeballs, born without them. So when when Christ spit on the ground, made the spittle and put it on his eyes, it was hearkening to the book of Genesis, the Spirit of God moving over the face of the water, the moisture, and God took that dirt and made man and blew his life into him. And Christ comes to recreate fallen Adam. And that hearkening, the echo, he spits in the ground, makes spittle. He didn't need to do that. He could have said with a word, with a blessing, with nothing. He's the living God. But he chose that way to hearken to that, to the Jews. And he put the spittle on his eyes and made him go wash. And he created eyeballs where there were none. This is the greatest miracle that everyone's ever seen. Even the blind man knows theology and knows that's true. But the Lord wants to heal us from blindness. And let's be clear, there's lots of blind people who the Lord doesn't heal, because the Lord isn't speaking about physical blindness. This is a tragedy unto its own, but that's not the main thing the Lord comes to hear. Spiritual blindness. And the question the Father's posed to us in this day is, do we want to see? Now we see plenty of things, right? We watch Netflix, we see this, we see that. We look at pleasing things to the eyes, but that's not the kind of sight that the Lord is talking about. Talk to a blind person, their other senses are heightened. Our sweet Diana, who moved away, other senses were heightened. You couldn't whisper around her, right? Other senses were heightened. And often when a person loses their sight, many priests we've known, different people, they say that it's actually a blessing because they're looking for real sight now, spiritual sight. And I quote Father Josiah, a good friend, heavily today, what are the things that we want to see? Number one, I want to see Christ in everything and everyone. We're very secular. We say, now I'm being spiritual, now I'm not. This we have to have an integrated whole organic life in Christ. I want to see every blade of grass. I want to see this flower, this beautiful flower garden out front, the mountains. And I want to say, I was the Grand Canyon as a kid. Not as a kid, I was in college and I was struggling. And I came into this little hill and someone had scratched into the rock. How magnified are thy works, O Lord, in wisdom hast thou made them all. Right? It's very beautiful. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament proclaims the work of his hands. I think the astronauts said that when we went to space, right? The American astronauts. So this kind of, I want to have eyes that see like this, that see Christ in every blade of grass, and the saints can do it, and it's possible for us. I want to see Christ in the face of each person that I see, my wife, my children, each of us, that person that God puts next to us, who is our neighbor. I want to see that in even the person that hates me. I want to see the face of Christ. One great elder says, you know why God put our eyes in our head? You can look at your own hands, you can look at your own feet, but you can't look at your own face. Why? So you're forced to see your face in the face of another, the other. That my brother is my life, St. Philip I says. I want vision like this, brothers and sisters. The second kind of vision I want is, Father Josiah quotes Elder Epiphanios, a great modern elder who died in, 1998, recently? And in Athens. He was a great man of prayer, clairvoyant, but he said this. People would ask him, what do you see, Yerinda? What do you see, elder? And every priest has seen many miracles at the altar. I don't know a priest that hasn't seen a miracle like that. But he would always respond, I don't want to see any of those things. I only want to see my sins. To see your sins is greater miracle than to raise the dead, one of the fathers says. And we're so blind to ourselves. We see other sins with eagle eyes. We're very blind to our own. May God help us to see our own sins. And then the Lord can take them away from us and can heal us. And the third sight I want for myself and one for all of us is that great promise in the New Testament. We shall see him as he is. We shall behold the face of the Lord. One of our fellow priests passed away about a year ago. And his last words to his brother priests were, I want to go and behold the face of Christ. And that's really beautiful. I want to behold the face of Christ. When my eyes close in this life, I want to see him as he is, because we're going to be like him, as St. John says, if we live this life correctly. We want to have noetic sight, right? Sight of the heart. What does that mean? There's much more than just meets the eye, right? Like we tend to think in our modern materialistic world, if you can't touch it, if you can't do this, that, or the other, it's not real. That's materialism, atheism, and we buy into that sometimes. That's because we haven't entered into our hearts. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's not some place up there and hell's down there. No, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And that's why we have the ascetical life of the church. That's how we begin this life of heal my blindness. Give me sight, Lord. Give me spiritual sight. The first thing he does is show you your sins. And we often go, no, I don't want to see that. Come on. You have to let the Lord show us. The light of Christ illumines all. He's the light. He says, walk in the light while you have the light. No one can work in the darkness. We can't work in darkness. Try and stumble as we might. In your baptism, you've been newly illuminated. The light of Christ opens every part of your heart if you will let him shine there and illumine your dirt and your junk. It's painful. It's hard. If you're not baptized yet in the Orthodox Church, yearn for it, because what it does is, before our baptism, God works from the outside in, the fathers say. After our baptism in the church, he works from the inside out. Rivers of living water, and every nook and cranny of our soul can be illuminated. The darkness can be exposed. And by our free will, our repentance, our life, we can receive this gift and we can choose our freedom to be transformed, to become lights of the world and to have our eyes actually be healed. Acknowledge, ask the Lord to illumine your darkness. That was the prayer of St. Gregory Palamas in a cave for years. Illumine my darkness. Heal my blindness. Let's have that prayer on our lips. Let's not be content with the false, fake sense of sight that we think we have. We think we see. The Lord says they don't see. The Pharisees, blind, leading the blind. Let's try to have spiritual eyes. When the Lord grants it to us in reading the scriptures, a word from our spiritual father, when we're sitting in prayer, let's take it. Let's take it and let that burn a little bit. Let the Lord illumine our darkness. Don't despair and say, God, we run to confession before God and our spiritual father and say, cleanse me a sinner. I don't want this anymore, Lord. And then the Lord forgives you and says, be healed. And then you can use your hands. The free gift, salvation. But we have a choice to put it on and make it happen. We can take up this spiritual life and start cleansing that heart. The light exposes the darkness. We offer that dirt back to Christ in our ascetical life, our prayer, our fasting. All it is an offering so he can give us that free gift of healing, which is a life. And we're not saving ourselves. We're offering our free will to God so he can give us real spiritual vision. And then guess what? Then you can see Christ in every blade of grass. St. Paisios could see it in every animal, every blade of grass. Dangerous animals wouldn't hurt him. They sense the new Adam in him. You can see Christ in the face of every single person because you're not focused on yourself. You yearn for their healing too. And you more than anything desire to behold the face of Christ. That's our great dream, brothers and sisters, is to behold the face of Christ. And guess what? This is the last thing I'm going to say today, is you don't have to wait till you die to see it. What do you mean? Now, of course, it'll be culminated when our eyes, physical eyes close and our spiritual eyes open in the next life. That is for sure. But that is the promise to all Christians who will enter into the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is within you. The Lord will enter into you, make his abode, his home in you. You don't know what happens when you receive Holy Communion, when the living Jesus Christ comes into you. He fills you. He's the bread of, he fills you with dynamic divine energy such that even if you're blind, even if you're suffering, especially when you're suffering, like Paul and Silas, even when you're in agony, and especially then, people were persecuted for being Christians. People think we're crazy to go to church. We want to kill people in coronavirus time. We should stay home. No. How do we have that energy and that strength and that? How does that happen? Because the light of Christ has filled us up and we've seen his face. Where do you see his face? In prayer. In deep noetic, that means the prayer of the heart. And so few people make time for this, brothers and sisters. Elder Joseph, St. Joseph the Hesychist, said it so beautifully. If people could live a life of sacrificial love, embrace each other, give to the poor, love the person next to you, be simple, go to church, fill the church as much as you can. The heck with this fallen world. Live like an insane, being Christian is like being an insane person. We should live like insane people. Being a Christian is radical. If it's not radical, it won't radically change you. Not to be weird on purpose, but to be weird compared to this messed up, normal, fallen, deadly, depressed world. If you live this way, and then you must have this final step. Baptism, repentance, we're confessing, we're doing all this is cleansing the heart. So the light of Christ has a throne to sit. And that's why in the midst of all this, as part of this, is I beg all of you, is that deep noetic prayer. To make quiet time every day with your prayer rope, to have your prayer rope, and to make quiet time late at night or early in the morning or in the middle of the night, and not just when you're walking around, that's good too, but dedicated time in the quietness in the night or the morning to sit and to say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And Lord Jesus Christ, and fighting up all of our thoughts, not looking for spiritual sights or visions or, no, we don't, our imagination can draw us simply. Prophet Elias, it wasn't the thunder, the lightning, it was in that gentle breeze. We can only hear if we can quiet down and be still and know that he's God. And brothers and sisters, when we continue, the prayer becomes our life, our breath, in conjunction with everything else, then you begin to noetically, not with this eyes, with the spiritual eye of your heart, you behold the face of Jesus Christ and you are totally consumed with divine love and you are never the same person. It says in the liturgy, fill us with the sanctification which cannot be taken away. I wonder, what does that mean? A sanctification we can follow all the time. No, that's what's promised to followers of Christ, brothers and sisters. Our blindness can be taken from us. Even if our physical eyes fall out or pierced out, we can attain spiritual sight. We can see Christ in the face of others. We can see Christ in the mountains, the trees, everything. We see Christ especially in our sins and his love for us. And in the midst of all this, we make time for that deep noetic prayer in a dark room, in a prison cell, wherever we are, the light of Christ can burst forth upon your heart and you begin to see him as he is That's a down payment. It's a promise. It's a foretaste the Lord gives to those who seek him, and it eradicates the fear of death. And then if we seek this, brothers and sisters, all of us can be like this. We can be like Paul, St. Paul and St. Elias, who were in prison in suffering and praying and singing hymns to God. This is why you were born. This is why you breathe. This is your great and high calling. And this broken world needs to see people that have true sight. Oh Lord, please drop the scales of this world from our eyes and grant us true spiritual sight. We shall see you as you are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.